In 1917, President Woodrow Wilson signed into law the Federal Farm Loan Act. This act was created to respond to small, struggling farmers that couldn't keep up with larger farms. It established a federal land bank in 12 districts across the United States. These land banks were the first components in what is known today as the Farm Credit System. These land banks, through their agent associations, allowed farmers to expand and develop farms with long-term credit. Over the past century, the Farm Credit System has evolved and improved from this first act, but their mission has remained the same: to support agriculture with reliable credit and financial services. Hello and welcome to Episode 9 of A Day in Agriculture. Farm credit and agricultural financing are crucial to keeping American ag alive. In this episode, I'm going to give an overview of the Farm Credit System and how it functions. I'm also going to give some background on its establishment and its importance, describe its impact, and then we'll go straight into our interview with Mr. Mike Besch, a senior loan officer at First South Farm Credit. Imagine you want to start a farm. You need money to buy land, equipment, and other things so you can get your operation up and running. Farming is very capitally intensive. You have to put a lot in to make profit. Most agriculturists don't have the money available to pay for the costs of new ventures out of pocket. They need help with this, and this is where Farm Credit comes in. The four banks and 56 associations of the Farm Credit System meet the credit needs of farmers, ranchers, and other eligible borrowers. They fund beginning operations, the needs of established operations, and help agriculturists in times of need. When agriculturists need funds, they apply for specialized farm credit loans. Some of the loans the Farm Credit System can make are ag real estate loans, loans to farmer-owned ag cooperatives, loans to finance imports and exports, loans to rural utilities, and many others that assist producers with other financial needs. Farm Credit helps keep the agricultural industry running smoothly. They help with the survival of small family farms and other operations, forming a sort of safety net for the whole industry. They play a key role in keeping markets stable and ensuring a reliable food and product supply through their financing of individual operations. As I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, the current farm credit system began with the Federal Farm Loan Act. This was, as I said, all the way back in 1916. The system has evolved drastically since then, improving to meet the needs of the agricultural industry. The 1916 Act didn't have a provision for short-term loans, so in 1923, a new Farm Credit Act was passed. The Federal Intermediate Credit Banks, or FICBs, created from this act, sought to solve the issue and focused on working in already existing banks and financial institutions. These institutions didn't participate as greatly as expected, however, so this act didn't have as big of an impact as was expected. The Great Depression in the 1930s had a big impact on the nation as a whole, and agriculture was no exception. Prices for commodities plummeted, and the federal land banks had numerous defaults. Farm foreclosures became increasingly common, and Congress sought to fix these issues with two new laws: the Emergency Farm Mortgage Act and the Farm Credit Act of 1933 were the response. The Mortgage Act was made to make it easier for producers to repay loans. The Farm Credit Act completed the creation of the Farm Credit System by creating new banks for cooperatives and improving the 1916 Act, an executive act by President Franklin D. Roosevelt, placed all existing credit organizations under the supervision of the Farm Credit Administration, or the FCA. This administration has a board of 13 members who develop policies for the FCA and regulate farm credit organizations. Borrowers have a voice at the national level. Fast forward to the late 20th century, And the Farm Credit System's institutions are growing rapidly in the 70s and the early 80s. Farmers borrowed heavily to expand their operations to meet the demands of exports. The value of farmland and products increased drastically. The agricultural industry was booming. The boom, however, didn't last forever. By 1979, interest rates soared to rein in inflation, and the Soviet grain embargo enacted by President Jimmy Carter caused crop values to plummet as demand drastically decreased. This decreased demand led to huge surpluses, low farm income, and low prices. Hundreds of thousands of family farms faced financial failure. Farm credit institutions' net losses were $2.7 billion in 1985 alone. They had the largest losses of any financial institution in U.S. history. Congress had to step in to provide relief. The Farm Credit Acts of 1985 and 1987 restructured the FCA, provided relief to institutions, and created the Federal Agricultural Mortgage Corporation, or Farmer Mac. American farms began to recover from the farm crises of the 80s, and the farm credit system improved to hopefully avoid another one. This leads us to today, where the Farm Credit System, the FCS, remains crucial to our nation and gives security to farms all across the country. The FCS provides dependable and affordable credit and helps build strong and competitive operations. Its 59 banks and associations all across the U.S. seek to meet the needs of U.S. agriculture. First South Farm Credit, which serves Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana, is one of these institutions. This brings us to our guest, Mr. Mike Besh. Mr. Besh is a senior loan officer at First South Farm Credit, where he has worked for 38 years. So first, Mr. Besh, I just want to say thank you so much for agreeing to be a guest on my podcast.
Well, thank you for having me, and I think it's great what you're doing with these podcasts and being an advocate for agriculture.
Yes, sir. So to get us started, would you mind kind of giving us the story about how you began your career?
Okay, I'm going to back up just a little. I grew up on a production farm in West Alabama, and I think that helped me a lot with my farm credit career because of being involved with agriculture as I was growing up. My father was a manager for different farming operations, and so I saw a lot of what was involved with him with management, as well as he, one of the operations that he managed dealt with farm credit, you know, and so I knew some of the workings of him dealing with farm credit. So I had some exposure and interest in farm credit, and then went off to college and got the opportunity to intern with First South Farm Credit, which is who I work with now. Down in Brookhaven, Mississippi, and spent a summer working there with the local farmers, learning from the staff at the farm credit office there in Brookhaven, and just was a very enjoyable and enlightening experience doing that. After that, came back to Mississippi State and finished my degree in ag economics, and there was an opening with First South Farm Credit in Northwest Alabama and went to work there and have been doing it about 38 years now, working with farmers and rural residents here in the Tennessee Valley area.
Yes, sir. So would you mind kind of explaining First South Farm Credit and everything it does?
So First South Farm Credit is a part of the farm credit system. We're a ag lending cooperative. We've got 47 branches that are across Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana. And we're a source of providing credit for full-time farmers, part-time farmers, rural residents for eligible needs that they have. We can also do financing for rural home sites and even rural homes. So we've got products for all those needs. Land financing is kind of one of our specialties, and that's working with producers that are buying farmland or working with people that maybe just want to have a part-time farm, a place to get away to and till in the soil or have some cattle or whatnot. We finance those type people. And then we provide capital for things like equipment purchases, farm improvements to your farm. That could be a shop building, a shed, adding irrigation, kind of a added insurance policy, I call it, when you do irrigation. And just other capital needs that, that farmers have, we can work with them. And that's part of the mission of First South is helping farmers and rural residents with what they want to do.
Yes, sir. Farming does require a lot of capital, and I know that that's kind of where ag lending cooperatives and stuff come in to really help out with that.
Well, we do, and one thing that's unique about First South Farm Credit and some other ag lending cooperatives is that some of the farm credit associations have a patronage refund program, and that's where we take a part of our profits and return it to the borrowers of the cooperative. And First South is able to do that, you know, and that ultimately allows our borrowers to save some on their borrowing cost.
Yes, sir, definitely. So would you mind kind of describing your position at First South Farm Credit and what you do day to day?
So I am a senior loan officer with First South Farm Credit. And my day-to-day, one part that I love about my career is that not every day is the same. Different things, different days, and that keeps it very interesting. But on a typical day, I'll talk to a few loan prospects or existing customers, discuss with them credit needs that they may have or may just be an inquiry that somebody's just looking at something they may do in the future. And so they're checking on financing and what terms and products are available. May go out to a farm and visit with farmers, be it an existing customer or a prospect, and kind of see what's going on with their operation.
Yes, sir. That sounds fun. It sounds like you get to meet a lot of new, interesting people through your job.
I do, and it's not all desk work. I love that. I spend a lot of Saturdays at auctions, be it an equipment auction or a real estate auction. And even during the week anymore, you have a lot of auctions. And that's a great chance to market and visit with people, meet new people. So that's a good part of the day-to-day of our lending. And then every now and then, we're like farmers. We wear so many different caps. You know, one day maybe counseling's not the best word, but just visiting with a long-term customer that's weighing some decisions and would like a little input. And so naturally you're not going to make the decision for he or her, but you can give some input, some things that they may not have thought about, some things from the financial side of their business that maybe they haven't quite considered, but it's a key part of the puzzle in looking at their decision with what equipment and land cost in this day and time. Any purchase is a major purchase anymore, so there's a lot of thought process to it.
Yes, sir, definitely. So this is kind of an ambitious question. I know that it's a lot, but would you kind of mind explaining the current farm credit system? I know you've already touched on it a little, kind of describing the cooperative and stuff, but just kind of a quick overview.
Okay, so the farm credit system is made up of four farm credit banks. And those farm credit banks then provide the funding to 59 different farm credit associations. Farm credit serves residents in the 50 states and Puerto Rico also. So it's a national group providing credit to farmers, rural residents for their credit needs across the whole nation in Puerto Rico. It's got its own regulatory agency, the Farm Credit Administration, that sees over the Farm Credit System and sets policies and regulations for it. And the Farm Credit System just is really a great organization. It goes back to 1916 is when legislation was started that started the Farm Credit System. And naturally, that's been tweaked and adjusted over the decades as times changed and things changed in agriculture and ag-related loans that we were working on.
Yes, sir. So to kind of touch on some of those changes, how would you say that, I know a lot happened with the Farm Credit System and stuff in the 80s and 90s. How would you say the lessons that we've learned from these farm crises that kind of occurred in that time period have impacted ag lending today?
Well, I think because of what we went through at that time, and there were so many things that brought on that farm crisis at
yes.
the time, but I think a lot of what takes place is that when we go to do a operating loan, let's say to a farmer, we work off projections, and those projections are working off that farmer's yields and historical income and expenses. But when we kind of do a projection that's based off that, then our underwriters that are assisting us do a great job of having some what-if analysis. What if the yields were only this? What if the markets were only this? So we do a real in-depth analysis or review of, okay, what if these factors changed? How would it affect this farming operation? And I think we owe that to our customers. You know, if it looks like their cash flow is marginal or tight, we need to have an analyze that and have that in mind. And maybe when that farmer calls you with a particular request and you analyze it, it may be that right at that time, that's not the best thing for that farmer. And we might share that with them that, hey, we're not sure this is what you ought to do right now. And I think a lot of that goes back to things that were learned in farm credit and ag lenders and just in general during that farm credit crisis. An interesting comment was made to me in a training that I went to one time, and I think this holds so true and kind of comes back to this. The instructor said to us, you know, some of the time, the best thing you can do in a relationship is to say no at that time because it will help them in the future. And we're not a no lender. Don't take it that way. But because of those times back in the late 80s and 90s, we know that not everything will always be rosy. And in so those rare cases when a farmer might be kind of marginal on his cash flow, or maybe he's leveraged awful good right now, you know, we might say in that case, hey, this may not be the best thing for you to do.
Yes, sir. That makes a lot of sense. I guess I didn't think about that. You know, I did some research on the ag finance system and ag lending before I started writing the script and stuff for this episode, and I didn't think about how much projections would play into kind of what y'all do, I guess, every day, talking to people and deciding on these loans and stuff.
Right, and in this day and time, things are good in agriculture, and it's pretty rare that we're not able to assist a farmer right now, you know, with something that they want to do. But that's always something that you have to look at and consider, and the projections are a key thing. And working with projections, you know, based on that farming operation, but also taking into account trends and what's going on in the area. This may dive off into a whole nother subject, but it kind of comes back to everything we've talked about. Part of farm credit that's unique is that we do everything we can to work with our borrowers, and we realize, being ag lenders, and that's what we do every day, that there's going to be times that markets are down, that because of weather, insects, or other factors, our farmers may not have the best yields. Lord forbid, but it does happen occasionally that you have a double whammy, that you have lower yields and the markets happen to be down. And we're not what some people would call a fair weather lender. That is, they're helping ag when times are great, but wants to run when times aren't so great. Farm credit and the related financing, that's our bread and butter, and that's what we do every day. So we're there to work with a farmer and stay with a farmer in every scenario that it's possible to.
Yes, sir. Like you said, definitely something that makes farm credit unique is dealing with all the variability that comes with being in the ag industry and lending to farmers and producers.
Yes, and it's almost like a double-edged sword, because our mission statement is, you know, to finance farmers, to assist production, agriculture, rural residents. But you've also, as part of that mission, we do have to, each loan is kind of its own situation. And if in a rare case a loan's truly got troubles, and that farmer, let's say, maybe comes back for additional operating capital for another year, and we go to do our projections, if it just looks like we could be in a situation that we could take a loss on that loan, we have to consider our other borrowers, because it comes back to us being a cooperative. We've got to do what's best for farm credit overall and all the borrowers. So thank goodness it's not real common, you know, most of the time that you have a situation that you have to terminate a relationship with a farmer or suggest he find another alternative, but it happens at times. And again, we have to keep the interest of the farm credit system or our association in mind to protect the strength of our organization and be there for our other customers.
Yes, sir. So kind of building on that and kind of some of the struggles, every job has struggles that come with being in the farm credit system and stuff. What would you say is the biggest challenge that you've faced in your career?
Well, I think there's kind of two key challenges. One is those rough times when maybe yields are down, prices are down, you know, and working up a loan and seeing the projections is not the most pleasant thing in the world. And you know, a lot of the time there's some big heart-to-heart discussions with our customers. And that can be a little bit of a challenge, but it's part of the job. And you're not doing the customer justice if you don't have that, if that happens to be the case. I would say another challenge recently that created some very unique times, but I adapted quickly, was when we had COVID and your customers or your prospects, you know, might not have been able to come see you or didn't want to come see you just, you know, for health concerns. And thank goodness we have a lot of digital technology and we're all way up and running with that. And so we were able to continue to take applications, continue to fund our customers, and our customers continue to have access to their operating capital or capital for term purchases.
Yes, sir. I guess I didn't think of that either. Kind of, now that we've come out of COVID, I kind of forget it happened sometimes. But you're so right. It did really present a lot of challenges, not just for the farm credit system, but for agriculture as a whole. And kind of seeing how we rose out of that, I feel like it was awesome to see all of the farms bounce back and adapt really quickly to, like you said, using all the new digital technologies and stuff so they can keep operating normally. Or as normal as they could.
Yes. Everybody had an adjustment, and it was different for each person and each different operation. But we had we already were using technology very widely, and it allowed us to continue and take care of our customers. And might have been a few little hiccups, but by and large, nothing major that affected our operations or our customers' operations using capital that we had available for them.
Yes, sir. So this is kind of just kind of a random question that I was thinking of earlier that would kind of so I see a lot of kids at my high school that are wanting to pursue production ag and stuff as a career, especially through FFA. So how would you say that ag lending provides new opportunities to these agriculturalists that are really wanting to get involved with production ag? And I know you touched on this a little earlier.
Well, one of our mission statements is assisting young and beginning and small farmers. So we welcome that group of people that want to come into agriculture, that want to be a part of production agriculture, be it on a full-time or a part-time basis. And we provide capital every time that we're able to, you know, to assist people with that. We're a little more flexible, to come back to your question, on our loans to young, beginning, and small farmers. We have our parameters are not quite as stringent, they're more flexible, again, in working with the young and the beginning and the small farmers. You know, for example, on a tractor, we might be able to finance just a little higher percentage for a young farmer because we realize that he's very strapped equity-wise and just trying to get started. This gets a little away from the capital part and the financing part, but another thing that I've seen that's a great opportunity for young people that want to get into farming, or just anybody. I mean, there's beginning farmers that may be 50 or 60 years old naturally. But if you can find an established farmer that's been around for a good while, that's willing to assist you in exchange for you assisting them, I've seen cases where beginning farmers worked with an established farmer, provided labor, helped the established farmer with things they were doing, and in exchange, the farmer was letting the beginning farmer borrow equipment to grow some crops, you know, or on their livestock operation. It was a win-win situation because labor is such a unique part of agriculture and getting harder to find, just like in other industries. A beginning farmer could consider that a way to kind of get their foot in the door by working with someone that was already farming and getting assistance from them.
Yes, sir, definitely. Because I know wanting to start a farm straight up from scratch without any connections and stuff, it's really difficult to do. And like you said, if you're with that farmer working, not only are you getting the opportunity to ask to borrow their equipment and stuff as you build up trust, but you're also learning and making those connections in the industry.
Yes, and you know, from growing up on a farm, I mean, farming now, the cost for adding equipment to your operation or improvements, you know, be it a hay shed or a shop building, or if you're building poultry production houses, the cost is so significant that anything you can do to help with those costs helps you in your farming operation.
Yes, sir. So kind of building on that one, so farming requires a lot of capital, like we talked about. You have to spend a lot of money to make money, like building those poultry houses so you can get the birds in and start producing. So how would you say ag lending helps to mitigate the financial risks that come with this high capital industry?
Well, I'm going to go back to, you know, we're a farm lender and we understand agriculture.
Yes.
So we understand the cost to go and do these things. And we also, because we've been involved with it for decades, We know what terms probably are going to assist a farmer in setting up their capital for an equipment purchase or for making improvements on their land or buying land. I mean, that's a big part of our business as farmers and rural residents buying land. And so we know the terms we offer, different terms, different loan products to help with those things. And we're a consistent source of capital. Part of the key thing that we do is providing operating capital to farmers for their input costs, which are very significant anymore. But things like the fertilizer, the seed, the fuel, the insecticides and herbicides that they use, and then money even for paying their labor and for the harvest cost and delivering the commodity after harvest if they deliver it. So we're a source of operating funds for those. And by a farmer knowing that he's gotten his operating loan set up with us or another farm credit institution where he may be in whatever part of the country, knowing that he's got that funding there, that's one less thing that they've got to worry about during the operating cycle of that year. And we're an asset to them and a partner to them, you know, in providing those operating funds, or it may be that they use us for funds for purchasing equipment or the land, and that lets them stretch a purchase out, you know, over a term, and that assists them with their cash flow. There's even cases where we deal with farmers and they have the funds that they could go make a purchase and just pay for it. But in certain cases, they decide, and I think it's wise to use our capital and make that purchase and save their funds as operating capital or even rainy day funds, because again, not every year is going to be a perfect year in agriculture.
Yes, sir. Like you said, agriculture comes with a lot of variability and kind of having to go with the flow. And farm credit system definitely helps a lot with that.
It does. I mean, it's our mission statement. It's why farm credit was set up.
Yes.
And we're there to assist the farmers.
Yes, sir. So as we kind of start to move towards kind of wrapping it up a little, I have some kind of more personal questions that I'd like to ask you, which this one isn't necessarily very personal, but it's kind of touching on kind of my audience, the younger generation that's trying to get involved with ag. So what would be your advice for somebody that's looking into pursuing ag finance?
Well, and that's a great question, Jessa. A lot of it's going to depend on what stage they are in their life. If they're still like in college, particularly if they happen to be at a land grant institution, take every course that you can as far as ag economics or even finance or accounting, anything that's kind of dealing with business, and take some production ag courses, you know, to help you better understand agriculture. I know when I was in school and studying ag economics, you know, there were some things that I wish I'd paid just a little more attention to, because I thought, well, I don't know that I'll ever need that in life. Well, one of the things was what they call diminishing returns. Diminishing returns just is dealing with what are your input costs, and then on the other side, what revenue are you getting in exchange for those input costs? And that's a key point in agriculture and really any business, you know, what are you putting in and what are you getting out? And my point there is just anything that you have a chance to learn, be it ag economics or other things related to finance or dealing direct with production agriculture, is a great base for building on your knowledge to help you if you go into ag lending.
Yes, sir. So pretty much just expose yourself to as much as you can learn going through college. That way you have as big of a background as possible so you can better understand everyone you're working with.
Right. And every time you have a chance, you know, to attend some type of ag meeting, or a producer's workshop, you know, to learn more about agriculture and economics of it. That helps you in building your knowledge base for ag lending.
Yes, sir. So for my final question, I want to ask, what is your favorite part of your job?
That's a very easy one, and it's why I went into this field of employment, is being an ag lender. I get to deal with production agriculture and some of the greatest people in the world every day, and dealing with farmers, be it full-time farmers, part-time farmers, a beginning farmer that's just getting into agriculture, getting to deal with those people and work with them, and having my ag background, you know, so that I can understand what they're doing and what they're going through, or what they're beginning to start into. That's the best part of my career. And you know, getting to get out of the office and go to their actual farms and visit with them and discuss with them, you know, what markets are doing, what's it costing to grow crops today? What are the concerns that you've got? All that is just makes for a great day each day, and makes dealing with farmers and rural residents a pleasure to do.
Yes, sir. And I'm sure, like you said, seeing the growth of your clients over time thanks to the Farm Credit System and all the work that you do is probably very rewarding as well.
Well, you're exactly right there. You know, and like, you drive by a farm and you see a set of poultry houses that you finance for someone so that they could either get into that business or expand that operation, or you pull up to one of your clients' farms and there's some grain bins that you help them add so that they have the ability to store grain and market a little later or whatnot. You know, you feel like family because
yes,
you're
sir.
There to help them. And hopefully that is, you know, what we're doing is being there with a capital for them. We're a key part of helping them to grow and maintain their operation. And there's just not much better satisfaction than that. It brings to mind a bumper sticker that I saw back when I was a lot younger, and that bumper sticker's always stayed with me. It said, if you complain about a farmer, don't talk with your mouth full. Well, what better career than helping the people that are growing the food and the fiber for us?
Yes, sir. Well, Mr. Besh, I just want to say thank you so much for joining us. I know I've learned a lot talking with you, and I've really enjoyed this, and I know all of our listeners will as well.
Well, I certainly appreciate it and was glad to do it. And again, I think you're doing a great job advocating for agriculture and helping people, more people learn about it. And I think that's a key thing for all of us involved with agriculture, is to be a voice for agriculture and help people to understand how critical it is to everything that we do daily.
The Farm Credit System is crucial to American agriculture. Without it, farms wouldn't be able to get the capital they need to operate successfully. It keeps food on your table, clothes on your back, and our nation's economy sound. So next time you think about farming and production ag, think about the credit institutions that make these operations possible. I hope you've learned something new in this, the ninth episode of A Day in Agriculture. You can expect the next episode on March 25th and listen on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Thank you for listening. Sources used in this episode are as follows: FCA, History of FCA, About FCA, Symposium 14, and Bank Oversight. United States Now, What is the Federal Farm Loan Act? And First South Farm Credit. If you would like access to the transcript of this episode or have any questions, contact adayinagriculture@gmail.com.